Our scripture this morning is in the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. And it's on page 1336 in your companion Bible. Okay, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 10. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Let's go to Matthew 13:35 right away, page 1339. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. The Lord quotes from Psalm 78, in reference to speaking in parables. The first occurrence of a word very often decides its fundamental meaning. The first occurrence of parables is in the Old Testament in Numbers, and it concerns the people of Israel in relationship to their special calling as a distinct nation and peculiar people. In the New Testament, Matthew 13, for the first time, secrets or mystery appears. And also for the first time, the word parables. And further, the Lord Jesus Christ translated the word saying, I will utter things of old, and I'll utter things that have been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Parables urges us to consider deeply the ways of God and his people, and to look for the hidden causes or workings that have been veiled over the eyes of the uninstructed. Parables were not used to make the teaching plainer, but they were used to veil the eyes, to veil the teaching for the majority. Parables, prophets and angels desire to see and hear of these things. Let's go to 1 Peter, page 1856. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies of the grace that should come into you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, upon whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. There were no breaks in parables between suffering and glories, between the accepted year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But is there? Let's go to Luke, page 43, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach to accept the year of the Lord. Verse 20, and it says, and he closed the book. He did not read the second half of verse Isaiah 61:2, the day of vengeance of our God. Why? Let's go to marginal reading on closed. It says here, because it was not yet manifest whether the king and the kingdom would be received or rejected. This leads us to the parable of the marriage of the king's son in Matthew 22, page 1359. Start with verse 7. But when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. And then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, and they that were bidden were not worthy. The end of verse 7. The burning up of the cities. Go to the marginal reading. Burning up of the cities. This refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place shortly after the close of the Acts of the Dispensation. The next verse starts out in then. Go to marginal reading again. This as to time leaps over the present dispensation and takes up yet the future preaching of Matthew 24:14, for it has to do with the same people. So there's a big gap between verses 7 and 8. That's the gap we're in now. There are no dispensational teachings in this gap. The parables are exclusive to the kingdom. On the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ sat upon a mountain and gave his laws and characteristics as a subject of his kingdom. In chapter 24 and 25, he looked forward to the day that his kingdom would be set up with power and great glory. Parables takes us to the end of ages. The Lord gave 8 figurative utterances in connection with the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. The first 4 parables were spoken outside the house to the multitudes. Matthew 13, 1 through 9, the sower. Matthew 13, 24 through 30, the tares. And Matthew 13, 31 through 32, the mustard tree. And Matthew 13, 33, the leaven. The next 4 parables are spoken inside the house to the disciples. And they are Matthew 13, 44, the treasure. Matthew 13, 45, the goodly pearls, And Matthew 13, 47, the dragnet. And Matthew 18, 51, 52, the scribes. Let us go back to the start of Matthew 3, page 13, 12, to what John the Baptist has said. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, in whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He had seen the heavens open, and he heard the voice of God saying in verse 16 and 17, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the course of time, John, for his faithfulness, was cast into prison. He suffered not only agony of the body, but of the mind. Had he been mistaken? Why was he not liberated if this one was the Messiah? Why was not the kingdom set up? So John sent two of his disciples to ask Christ in Matthew 11, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Christ answered and said to them, go tell John again the things you do see and hear. The blind do see, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf do hear, and the dead are risen up, and the poor, the gospel is preached to them. Everything was being done by the Savior according to the word and will of God. But unbelief was bringing this witness to a close. In Matthew 11:20, Christ began to upbraid the cities, which his mighty work was being done. The Lord Jesus Christ, however, knew that this opposition would be overruled by the accomplishment, the ultimate purpose of God. And with these words he said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. He waited the end. We reach a climax in Matthew 12, page 1333. Verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Greater than the temple. And greater than the prophet Jonah in verse 41. And greater than King Solomon in verse 42. In all these capabilities are he was rejected. And the reason for this rejection is verse 43 to 45. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwelled there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be also with this wicked generation. For rejecting Christ, they have reached the greatest point of sin. This leads on to Matthew 13 with its mysteries and secrets. We now approach the initial parable. And because it is the first, it supplies the interpretation to all parables. The parable of the sower is of great importance, because it is repeated three times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These to whom who these words were first spoken knew the Old Testament scriptures well, for they did not have the epistles of church doctrine in their minds. The ones that have today can't introduce confusion in God's word by their traditional ideas. Let's keep kingdom and church separate. Do not read into Matthew 13 that which has not been revealed until years later. Then we shall be able to understand the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is wider in scope than the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the millennium and is confined to the limits of the promised land. Go to Matthew 10. Page 1328. This is the limits of the land. For these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into every city, the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The seeds of the kingdom were sown by John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 apostles during the Acts period. Although they proclaimed the kingdom near, yet now that kingdom is in temporary darkness. The first sowing was the ministry of John the Baptist. He preached the good news of the kingdom. Every ministry had something of the four kinds of ground. John's sowing fell on hearts that were hardened from traditional ideas. Very few believed. The Lord sent the wicked one, called away that which was sown in Matthew 13. This is the sowing of the wayside. Then the various types of grounds speak not of the state of the heart of the hearers, but also of the environments during the various phases of a history of events. A characteristic example can be found in Peter and Judas. Satan had dealings with them both in Luke 22. Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Judas went out and hung himself. Peter was a child of the kingdom, but for a while the thorns overcame him. Judas never was a child of the kingdom. John 6, Christ said he was of the devil. John is the thorns, or in the next parable, the tares. His heart represents the thorny ground itself. In Luke 3, 7, there was a great majority of Pharisees that came forth to be baptized of John, but they didn't understand the importance of the message. They rejoiced for a season, yet they had no root. They were soon offended. We come to the second sowing. Immediately following the ministry of John the Baptist was that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He started his ministry using the same words as John used, Matthew 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was stony ground hearers. They were shallow. They received the word with joy for a while. In Matthew 4, page 1315, we have the preaching in its effect. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people that had been taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them, and they followed him, great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and far beyond Jordan. In Mark 12, it says the common people heard him gladly, but by and by they became offended. In John 6, gives a recording of this defection. And also in John 6, as many disciples walked with him no more. In Luke 4, all they at the synagogues turned against him. In Matthew 21, great multitudes spread their garments, saying, Hosea to the son of David, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. And just in a few days, urged by the chief priests and elders, they cried out, crucify him. This is just some of the shallowness of the hearers of the word during the Lord's ministry. They brought no fruit into perfection. Now we come to the third sowing. Immediately following, after the ministry of the Lord Jesus, was the 12 apostles during the Acts period. This ministry is likened to the sowing of the good seed among the thorns. Peter used the same key words in the gospel of the kingdom, repent and be baptized. The preaching at Pentecost and after had a deeper effect, for the good seed found a place in many hearts. But the trouble is seen among those who had tasted the heavenly gifts and been partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they were still zealous of the law in Acts 23. They took pleasures of this life in Matthew 13, 12. They were cut down and remained in that condition till the end of age. We come to the fourth sowing. Matthew 24, page 1364. This represents the good ground. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. The final witness leads on to fulfillment of the commission in Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. The final sowing will be fruitful. Israel shall be righteous. They shall declare my glory to the Gentiles, says Isaiah 60. From Matthew 13, 14, all the way through the Acts of the Apostles, to the close in Acts 28, 27. The heart of Israel had been hardened for the lust of other things that choked the word. But the time comes for the final sowing. The Lord will send Elijah, and he will accomplish what John the Baptist foreshadowed. He will make ready the people of Israel, says Ezekiel and Jeremiah. The day shall come when Israel will bring forth a hundredfold. Christ knew that his rejection would but subserve the ultimate purpose of God. In due time, he came to die. And in due time, he'll come to reign. The parable of the sower is not only to provide a moral and spiritual lesson, but the primary teaching is to represent the secret causes and mysteries of the kingdom to its glorious close. I thank you, Father, for your word of truth. May we not abuse nor abandon your true teachings. May we always have the thirst and desire for your truth and knowledge through the Holy Spirit. And if we are wrong at any one point or subject, may we be free from pride to change a wrong to a right and to continue to grow in truth and understanding of your word. Also, Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted. You're there, Father. May they come to you for strength and comfort and understanding. It's in your beloved Son's name that we pray. Amen.